Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master, as is known in a lot of other systems, and I use they/them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Erin. I play as Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the Half-Orc Ranger. We both use they/she pronouns. And Jesse is trying to not think about all the stuff that happened with Wealthy last time.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard, who is currently melded with Sidroa, the goo monster. Together we are known as Weldroa. We use any kind of pronouns you want to throw at us. I use they, them pronouns. And Wealthy is trying to figure out how to stop thinking about what she learned last time with Lucinda.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold college student slash pilot. We all use he, him pronouns. And we're hanging out, ready to getting ready for the final confrontations and stuff, and looking for a body, somebody, anybody,
somebody to love you, somebody to possess, one of the two.
And there's a bunch of good songs that we could get clips for, but probably not the right.
Need to do a recorder cover, which I'm sure will sound fantastic directly into a podcast mic.
Can't anybody find me somebody to love?
Uh-huh. If you would like to show your love for us, natural segues, you should rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. Helps people find us, makes you feel good about what we do. You should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
Okay, last time, Wealthy was just told that she's fucked by Lucinda, and decided that she most needed to find Jesse and get Jesse to come and be her emotional support half-orc ranger. Lucinda said that the creature that's borrowing Wealthy's body is an unpronounceable thing. Currently, we don't really understand what they want, but getting touched by these means that they will overtake your mind, and it's really best that Wealthy got out of her body before it took over her as a person. The things might be a projection from another level of planes. Lucinda's options are resurrection, making Wealthy into a crystal so that she can become a mech. And the third option is finding the body. Wealthy is probably going to try to find the body later, if only to stop it. And in the meantime, probably will try to become a crystal mech. Grix at the club was holding court, telling stories about the ground and really selling it. Jesse was hyping him up. Quilvons was dancing with Green and then left with Green to go to the dumpster. Quilvons and Green had kind of a date. And then Quilvons and Green went to find Lucky and got her to show them where regular Vons used to live. Grix ran into them and went with. And everyone felt weird about where Vons used to live and agreed that it's really better that he is living now in the brewery instead of in this extremely dank hole in a park. And that is it.
Yeah.
It's all pity Vons.
You don't sound so sarcastic about it.
I thought it's being sarcastic. I just, you know.
Although
Vons thought he was, you know. Okay.
Vons had that bachelor pad pride when he lived there.
He thought he was doing pretty good.
We all have different definitions of good, I guess.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Some of us want houseplants. Some of us want tastefully arranged furniture. Some of us want enough traps to destroy anyone who comes after us. Don't really care about the rest of their household. You know, priorities. But real quick, speaking of Vons, because I forgot to note at the top, so I'm sure you've all intuited, dear listener, Adam is out this week, but should be back soon. Has the temerity to travel. Very rude. But all right.
Life.
Yeah.
What do we need life for?
100% dedicated to the podcast. All right. Wealthy.
Uh-huh.
You want to get a crystal powered mech.
Yeah,
or you are the crystal.
Yeah.
You could get reincarnated. The chance of coming back as a bear is only is not a majority.
I really think the crystal mech idea is where I'm going.
Okay.
I don't like my odds with the dice. I just don't.
Where are you going to? Source a crystalline mech.
Well, I think I'm going back to Triple X, what's his name, Xandrius, and in the gemstones and
Yep, that's what they call it. Triple X Xandrius in the gemstones.
You have to get at least one of those two names right or you get lost.
it's not the gemstone?
It's the gemwood.
The gemwood. God damn it.
It's fine. It's just sort of
the gem and the holograms.
Yeah, it's like gem and the hol. Yes, exactly. It's gem and the holograms.
It's probably got something to do with the righteous gemstones, which I've never actually watched. So never mind. The gemwood. I have to find the wizard whose name has a lot of X's in it, or has a lot of Z sounds in the gemwood.
There's just a lot of sounds in that in general. But all right, you head back to Elegant Enchantments to see Xandrius.
I got Xandrius, right?
Yeah, all right. So, you walk on
in. I come clattering back in my armor.
I just really think that you need to, like, not emphasize how clattering you are, because, like, at this point, you've been wandering around in this armor for a very long time, like, several months, and I think by this time you've figured out how to, like, not clank everywhere that you go.
By the very nature of the armor, it's going to clank. It's not. I've probably learned how to, you know, walk with a minimum of clanking, but there's going to be a certain amount of clanking just from
sure.
The
it's
armor.
Just that you emphasize it aggressively all the time, and I just don't think you need to do that.
I identify it with it, like when my shoes were making so much noise on the floor of the art museum the other day.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. Fine.
They were
fair
like,
enough.
Why are you slowing down?
Oh God!
I'm loud.
Yeah, being the person with squeaky shoes in a tiled space is like the most self-consciousness-inducing thing on the planet.
Oh, mine was heavy, heavy boots on a clicky-clacky wood floor. Chomp, chomp.
I don't understand how I'm the least self-conscious person here.
We're just a talented bunch. But all right.
Okay, so I...
So you're heading into Elegant Enchantments with the minimal amount of clanking that plate armor would require.
Yes.
Occasional slight scrapes. I imagine there's a lot of leather padding. I don't know. Anyway, you're back.
Yes, I am. I am... you're probably my best source in the whole city, because Professor Jenkins is down on the ground. Anyway, you're probably my best source in the whole city. I am looking for a gem mech. I'm told it's one of my options. And I'm wondering if you know who can... I know who can put me in a gem. I'm just looking for somebody who can make me a mech.
By a mech, do you mean a mechanical construct body?
Yeah.
Where you would be the crystal.
Where I would be in the crystal. I just said, Lucy, I've got a line on somebody who can put me in the crystal.
Just clarifying terms. Make sure we are talking about the same thing, because occasionally I get people who come in here and ask for one thing, and they're using the wrong terminology, and then they're very mad at you and trying to make returns on non-returnable items.
What kind of are there two kind of things that you can call mechs?
For bodies, I mostly consider them constructs. But mech also works. I think of mech as something that is piloted by someone who is still in their original body, not possessing the machine, for lack of a better word.
Ah.
Both are valid.
Okay, then I will call it a construct so that we're both talking the same terms. I am in need of a mechanical construct in order to be put into a crystal so that I can have some semblance of my own body and allow Sidroa to occupy its body without me in it, although Sidroa, I am very appreciative of the time that you have allowed me to spend here.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, that is a extremely specialized trade. So there's not many people you can talk to. There's a number of artisans who make various artificial limbs. Those are common, but...
I have friends. I have a friend. Once upon a time, I had need of an artificial limb, and now I don't, because, well, I need it. Yes, I'm aware of artificial limbs, but I figure that artificial bodies are something else pretty much entirely.
Yes. There are not, there are not a lot of people who make constructs, even fewer that could make one that you could ride around in, rather than making them directly, and of their own personality. You would probably be best served by asking around. There are some ARC's maintenance engineers who make a hobby of it. Alternately, I can recommend you to a creature that calls itself Brimstone.
Oh god.
Wait, hang on.
That actually sounds familiar?
Yeah, but also, like, I think that might be Acidan. Anyway, carry on.
Creature that calls itself Brimstone. It is, or they are, more personable than that name might suggest. You can usually find them in Echoes. They rent out a basement there for various laboratory and experimentation purposes.
I'm down with that. Okay. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
And could you give me the names of a couple of people who do the hobby? So that, you know, maybe I can get them all together, because we're kind of on a timeline here.
Righteous Fury.
Righteous Fury.
That person also sounds familiar.
Righteous Fury works in our medical facilities by day, but does this as a hobby.
That's where I recognize them from.
There is also Clara, C-L-A-R-A, who works out of the Rise, specializes in more high-end, mostly limbs, but can probably help you. And last but not least, we have Pol, P-O-L, who primarily actually lives and works in command. Normally do weapons and armor maintenance.
So Brimstone, Righteous Fury, Clara, and Pol.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate the assistance.
Best of luck.
Thank you. I'm going to need it. Seems all like right. My life lives on the roll of the die. Thank you. I'm going to leave now.
What a weird thing to say.
Oh, my nose is... Well, no, I can't. My nose can't bleed. I'm well drawn.
Hey, you're immune to nosebleeds.
And some of the goo comes out.
Horrible.
This splats onto the floor and stays there. Cannot be reattached. Okay. So, you go and you...
I'm going to go ahead and head to my main source. I'm going to go to Brimstone.
All right. You go to find Brimstone. Head on over to Echoes, everyone's favorite place.
Can you describe Echoes for us? We don't spend a lot of time outside the Warrens.
Echoes is a place where people of culture and distinction go, and also everyone else who wants to be entertained.
Okay, so...
Say that again.
Echoes is a place where people of culture and distinction go, but also everyone else who wants to be entertained.
No, that was a joke. I was making a joke. You can say that again because of Echoes, the name Echoes. It's
microphones.
Funny. Oh, wow, boo.
It's a funny.
Aha. Anyway.
Waka waka.
So, Echoes has many forms of entertainment, including comedians, various print and bookshops, and of course, well, comedians kind of inhabit these spaces, but just theater upon theater upon theater upon theater. Many of them are set down into the ground, think an amphitheater, with some amount of ceiling covering, but to make sure that no one is suffocating in a stuffy theater, they usually aren't completely sealed, which leads to several of the plays and musical acts echoing off the high cavern walls and their audio making its way everywhere. It kind of becomes a background noise. It gets dissipated enough, but basically if you really want to listen in, you can always hear probably at least one other play than the one you're attending, albeit not loud enough to truly distract you.
Wow, that sounds like a misophonic nightmare.
I guess I should rephrase it. It's probably more that you can often hear things as you're walking by them and can occasionally hear more than one, but it's probably not entirely.
Like the directional sound kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially pleasant and charming, and you're right. That other description sounds like it's a fucking nightmare. So, yeah, basically,
maybe
you can always hear something going on. Because there's always something going on.
Maybe you're a kid at a drive-in movie theater watching Escape from New York, but there's The Empire Strikes Back, and you fall in love with Harrison Ford, is playing in another screen that you can see. So you're paying much more attention to that than you are to Kurt Russell. I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, no, that sounds specific. That sounds like a universal experience that we've all had. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thanks for reminding us of the universal experience that we've all had, Kelly.
As you, dear listener, remember that experience and write to us about it. Letters at primaryattribute.com. Okay. So, yeah. You go searching. How are you going to try to find Brimstone? You've been given a neighborhood, but not an address.
Well, I'm gonna head towards Echoes, and I'm going to...
Well, you made your way to the neighborhood. That part was easy. Yeah. It's how do you ask around once you're there.
I'm going to start asking around, you know, where's a good place to find somebody who's renting a basement?
Sorry?
What a question.
Running a basement?
Yeah.
Renting is that a basement.
Renting.
Yes, renting a basement.
Okay. That's definitely a little more normal. Not remotely what we all heard.
Okay. So I am looking for some places where you would rent a basement in the most common places that you would rent a basement in the Echoes, which seems like a weird place to rent a basement to do magical experiments in an artsy part of town. But I'm not going to judge. Just saying it's kind of odd.
Well, darling, before that context, I assumed you were looking for a place to live as a struggling actor, which is most of our basement rentals around these parts. If you're looking for a place to do business, or where someone is doing business, I would suggest some of the more away from the theater's parts of this. So the edges of the neighborhood. Edges.
Okay.
Alternately, some taverns and other places that sell various things you imbibe often have basements for such a thing.
Okay. I could use a drink. Larger taverns or a smaller one?
Depends on how big a basement they need.
You ever heard of a dude called Brimstone?
Oh yes, quite the character.
Would you happen to know where his basement is?
Works out of obscuring smoke.
Tavern?
Smoke shop.
Smoke shop. Oh, okay. I am a halfling. I do like some pipe weed. I will head there. Thank you.
We learn new things about Wealthy every time that anything happens.
Well, I don't smoke pipe weed very often because it's just...
Well, now you're a goo monster, so probably you're not smoking pipe weed at all anymore.
No, not at all. It had slipped my mind that I was a goo monster. I'm sorry. It just, you know, after a while, you just get used to your situation. I'm going to get directions to the obscuring smoke and head that way.
All right.
After this person that I was asking from, what kind of business do they do? Or were they just somebody I stopped on the street?
They were just somebody you stopped on the street.
Okay. I give them profuse thanks and head on my way.
They were one of the 50,000 theater gays.
Just a huge percentage of the arts population.
Yeah.
Which I believe we established had 40,000 people, so...
60,000, but yeah. So, you know, 5 every 6 people.
Yeah.
But all right, so you head on down to Obscuring Smoke.
Okay. So I walk in.
There is, in fact, no haze. It's very rude of them. But there are a number of very small jars and vials of things that end up being very expensive because growing stuff on the arcs that is not a crop that likes the cold is work intensive, to say the least. Mm-hmm. That said, a lot of strains, including your basic pipe weed, should you wish to see what happens to a well drawer when pipe weed is smoked.
I'm not interested in finding out. I suspect that Strowa, what do you think would happen if we tried to smoke?
Probably not a lot, unfortunately.
I agree, it's very unfortunate. When you were inside my body before it got possessed by an extra-dimensional elder god or something. Would you have experienced the smoking if I'd have smoked the pipeweed?
To an extent.
Well, I'm gonna have to spend a lot of money on this mech, on this construct. So, probably pipeweed isn't something we should dabble in right now. Okay, let's go up to the counter and hi there. I'm actually here looking for Brimstone. I understand he rents a room in your basement.
Oh yeah, Brimstone. Yeah. There's actually a visitor's entrance around the side. You'll just wooden door. Usually left unlocked, if not lock really loudly, or if not knock really loudly. Or if it's unlocked, just head down the stairwell that goes left and knock less loudly on the door.
Sounds great. Thanks. And I'm going to go down. I'm going to find the door. It was the visitor's entrance. Is the door locked or unlocked?
It's unlocked.
I'm going to open the door and I'm going to go downstairs now and to the left. And the door there, I'm going to knock on the door, not very loudly.
All right.
Why? Why not very loudly?
Following.
Because I was told not to knock very loudly.
Or at least less loudly.
I don't know how I missed that. Sorry.
So, you knock at an appropriate volume for the situation, and...
Which isn't very hard, because I've got gauntlets and metal gloves, so...
And a creature opens the door. They look like they're made of mostly cooled, but not completely cooled lava.
Okay. Hello. I take it you're Brimstone?
Yes, I am Brimstone, and you are?
We're Weldroa. I'm wealthy. I am a halfling wizard who is currently being housed inside the body of Sidroa, a black goo monster, for lack of a better word. And I am looking for Brimstone so that I can... I'm looking for you so that I can, talk to you about a mechanical construct that I might be able to occupy.
Yes. Come in.
Come in. All right. I come in.
So the creature is kind of a, like, would be bulky in a muscular way, but there's slightly less definition to the form than that overall. If you took a dwarf and scaled them up about 25%, that's where you'd end up at for size.
And bulk.
Yeah.
In bulk.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, you're let in. Heavy footfalls by Brimstone, and you find yourself in a basement workshop. It's really fucking hot in here. Although, not as a result of Brimstone, but as a result of the forge that is built in one corner. And there's also a smelter and various other metalworking things. And this place appears to be about 85% workspace. And then there's kind of a corner with like a metal screen vaguely separating it from the rest of the room that from the bits you can see appears to be the personal space.
Okay. Do I see any kind of evidence of mechanical construct in process?
Oh, yes. So, again, from what you were told by Xandrius, you would guess that most of these are limbs, but you see things in all levels of development from what look to be, you know, shaped pieces that have been freshly hammered, roughly in the shape of, like, you know, forearms or parts of forearms and thighs, or even in one spot, the more intricacies of like a humanoid hand. You see several different work tables that have a bunch of very tiny parts spread out on them, but in a very organized way. And you see several things that are in various stages of assembly. Everything is incredibly neat. And the other thing you see hanging up on, or like on a shelf at the wall, because hanging up on a wall rack makes this sound, hanging up from the ceiling makes this sound terrifying. You see at least one humanoid looking torso and one smaller, kind of a spherical thing with like a big lens on the front that's just sitting next to it. It's a little hard to say what that one is. They appear to be made of a various mix of metals. There's a lot of, you know, golden tones, various varieties. You'd guess there's a lot of like brass and steel involved, depending on how waterproof they need it to be.
Okay. I see I'm in the right place.
Yes, although it's been some time since I got a commission of this nature. You said you're riding around an Aku creature.
I lift my visor so that he can see my face. Or the space where there should be a faith. Yes, there was an unfortunate incident with the corruption and an elder god, and I lost my body, but I was saved by the inhabitant of this goo body. Sidoro, would you like to say hello?
Hello.
Sidoro says hello. As much as I have appreciated the time spent here, I would like to have my own personal place to live and allow Sidroa its place to live. We've been together for a very long time, one way or another.
Well, you would need to be transferred to a crystal. Do you know what that entails?
I just assumed I'd be doing it. I do have a line on somebody who can do it. I suppose you want to scare me with what it entails at this point.
I merely wish to let you know that it is not an easy process on the mind.
It never is it? Okay. Jen. Well, I need to talk to Lucinda more about that, but I'm going to do it no matter what. Because I'm not going to be resurrected as a bear or a roach or a rust-eating monster or whatever.
Fair.
I'm sure you would find ways to work around the disadvantages, but I will admit my option is often much more appealing to people. Although Sir Barrington lived an excellent life post-bear transformation.
Oh, I want to meet Sir Barrington, but it sounds like he's dead now.
Sir Barrington is also a reference to someone else's character from a meme on the internet, so...
Oh, okay, then never mind.
Someone made a bear rogue, and it turns out you can do a lot with a stupidly high deceive score.
I love it.
But yes, so...
My bear is a fighter, so...
Once you transition into being within the crystal, you will need to be careful. The crystals self-heal, but very slowly. And if it gets destroyed, well, that's it.
Well, I have been remarkably lucky with not being destroyed. I mean, I should be dead right now, or I should be in a body that is being occupied by an elder creature, which probably means my soul was destroyed. So I'm remarkably lucky in that I had Sidroa in my body who decided to get the hell out of my body at exactly the right time and decided to take me with him with it. So
on a meta level. If your crystal reaches 0 HP or below, it's destroyed.
Okay. How do you protect the crystal while it's within the body?
Well, with one of these fine frames that I build, they add layers of protection and you can add things onto them depending on what you need them to do. Built on armor is popular among those who fight for a living. There's also the ability to make certain things easier to perceive or to restore senses that are dulled or lost while being in a construct. You can move the crystal between my frames and, well, you won't find anything like this anywhere else really, but if you find someone else's constructs that also happen to be powered by an individual crystal, because anything is possible, you could theoretically pilot those as well. Of course, if these get damaged, they will need to be repaired. Your standard wound healing does not apply. And by virtue of being mechanical and somewhat modular, sometimes pieces are removed forcibly in accidents or in combat.
I've had that.
And reattaching those can take some effort. Just okay. A mending spell, but if you don't have that on you, it's a bit of a problem.
I will make sure to have mending spells on me. For a magician, I seem to spend a lot of time fighting. In your experience, if it were you, would you take a mech or a resurrection? I'm just asking.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah,
it's a good icebreaker question at parties.
Yeah, 100%.
I assume you mean reincarnation and not true resurrection, given your comment about bears and roaches.
Yes, reincarnation. I was given the option of reincarnation and resurrection and the crystal mech. and I'm just curious what you would do.
Well, given your body is still out there, I would note that, from what I understand, the ability to resurrect is severely limited here. It requires extremely expensive and rare components to do the sort of resurrection you would need. It requires a very high-level cleric.
Are they expensive
to the point that they are restricted by the city for emergency use, and last time I got to talk to someone about it, there were only about 12 of them left.
And are these restricted because they're only on the arcs? Or are they, are they expensive and restricted because they're only on the arcs, or can they be found on the ground?
They would be difficult to find on the ground, but if you are willing to mine for them or raid various places, I suppose it's possible.
Okay. So reincarnation, how does that work? I should have asked Lucinda this, but I was a little bit stunned by the information I got about my my body, so.
Understandable. I imagine you are going through
a trying time. I'm better now. I'm better than I was.
Reincarnation reincarnates you into the young adult body of a creature, but what nature decides to give, as it were, is somewhat unpredictable.
Yeah, there you could. Bear was passed around a couple of times.
You could come back as a bear. You could also come back as a halfling, a human, a dryad, a centaur, a wolf, pixie, or something else. There's a wide variety of options.
But none of them chosen by me.
Correct.
Okay, I think I'm going to spend some time with Lucinda, but I'm leaning towards the mech. But I do need to go spend some time with Lucinda and ask her some questions.
Very well. I
appreciate the time. I do know where to find you. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again.
And And you head on out.
I do.
Just so we know where you end up going with this, jump to the club.
Lucinda.
Jump to
the club.
The oddly quiet, possibly magically quieted, gauzy curtain corner.
Ah! Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so good for club. I wish that was real.
Yeah, right.
I could actually go to a club ever.
Yeah. Lucinda is... This is obviously a different night, and Lucinda is wearing some sort of very sparkly and elaborate headpiece. Like, somewhere between a tiara and something that is, like, woven into a braid. And so much glitter. Just so much glitter.
Wow.
So, like, hello.
You went all out tonight.
Of course, it's glitter night.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm curious, did you bring anybody with you?
Yes. Do you want to bring anyone with you?
Yeah, I probably brought Jesse and maybe Alara.
Alara?
Alara?
Yeah. Alara's pretty level-headed.
Okay, cool. All
right.
I just didn't think you were friends with Alara.
No, we're friendly enough. We've spent time together.
Fair enough. Proceed.
I asked her and she said yes.
Isn't she the more spontaneous and impulsive of the Alara Green duo?
She is pretty stabby for a monk.
Well, she also doesn't get scared by much.
No, she doesn't. You know, she's going to be, you know, if she's going to be friends with our group, then she's going to be dealing with she may end up dealing with an elder god, and she needs to know what she's getting into. Besides which, I can't find green.
Who said that?
What? That's why
I'm assuming I can't find green because she and Vons are canoodling.
They're not canoodling. That is also
assumption.
Also, here's what happened on the date. Vons cock blocked himself.
Yes, but I think Green would think that that was charming and would...
Reading so much more into all of the interactions that happened. You should not assume that. Also, okay. Adam's not here and you cannot argue that things happened to his character that definitely did not canonically happen.
Well, she could argue that her character assumes this and just didn't try.
That is fair. Sure.
Green's just at work. You know, polishing the saddle for Percy.
Polishing the saddle, is that what they call it?
Yes, they call polishing the saddle polishing the saddle.
So anyway, we're there. And
what's up, Jesse?
Hey, yeah, no worries.
This is Alara. She's a friend. She's a very level-headed person, and I think I need some level-headed people to help me deal with this season of my life. So I got some questions for you that I didn't ask the last time because I was a little bit stunned by the fact that I was, you know, as fucked as I am. So I just wanted to ask you, you know, a few questions about my options.
Sure, yeah.
So what's involved in reincarnation? What are my odds of getting something gross or useless? Would I still be able to be a wizard no matter what?
First and- off, very judgy.
Yeah, I was like about to say that, but like, I don't know.
What do you mean judgy?
Calling something gross?
Yeah, you said, well, I don't want to get something gross.
I mean, I don't want to be like a cockroach or a rust-eating monster.
They don't think they're gross.
They don't think they're gross.
They don't think they're gross, but I do, and I don't, if I was reincarnated as one, I'm pretty sure I'd think I was gross.
I mean, wow. But like, you don't know that for sure, though.
I'm
just
sure
saying, you're like a real, got, I'm just I'm, like, you're just getting real judgy about like a thing that like you wouldn't have any control over, you know, like.
No. And you know what? If I was reincarnated as a roach, I'm pretty sure everybody else would think I was gross because everybody thinks cockroaches are gross.
Yeah, but listen, healthcare is free on the Arcs, and there's like a dozen therapists who specialize in reincarnation based body dysmorphia. So
yeah, I just think like there's no particular reason to think you're gonna like definitely feel a certain way about yourself later. You might feel different. You might feel like, oh, this is really cool. I can go wherever I want, and I'm very indestructible, kind of almost.
Kind of like Wally's rope. Okay. All right. Since I'm getting battered on all sides about
or just
being judgy, I know that. I know that.
I'm not.
So if I were to be resurrected, what are my odds of being resurrected as any one thing over another? Is there anything I can do to increase my odds of being something rather than something else? And if I were to be reincarnated as a rust-eating monster, would I have consciousness? Would I have my consciousness, or would my consciousness be restricted to the consciousness of a rust-eating monster? And would I be able to use magic as a rust-eating monster?
Reincarnation is really more about like the body than the mind. So you still have your consciousness, you'd still be just, you know, you'd know the things you know, you'd behave the way you behave, although obviously that would probably adjust if you come back as one thing versus another. But you should still be able to cast magic. You'd have to spend some time relearning how you're doing what you would have done as hand motions or things like that, but you've adjusted to your current situation, so I imagine you could do that pretty quickly. Or just had a not particularly, you know, hand movement focused casting style. And
I did. I have accidentally hit myself with a magic missile before. So yeah, learning new hand motions is really important. Let's go ahead, and then there's the whole resurrection thing. Which if I don't have a body right there, how do I get resurrected without a body?
So you need what we like to call, well, what is called, quote unquote, true resurrection. It is very difficult. You'd have to probably find one of the highest clerics or priests of one of the local gods and hope their god isn't too busy today. I don't say that to be facetious, just gods really like, you know, worship and belief, and when you're down to about 60,000 odd people, there's not a lot of that to go around. So a lot of them are pretty weakened, so this would be a pretty big ask, both of the cleric and of the god. Doesn't mean it can't happen. The cleric asks for it, they'll do it, but there's kind of only so much power they're pulling on any given day, and yeah, no, there's a reason our
medical technology is as good as it is, and it's not because the clerics just decided they didn't want to.
Okay.
You also need a really expensive rock.
Like the arcs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's resurrection, there's a crystal mech.
Hey, I have a question about the crystal mech, actually. Am I allowed to ask questions or no?
Go ahead and ask questions. I might not be asking the right questions.
Like, in what way is the crystal mech, like, actually different from, like, what you have going on right now? Because, like, from my perspective, the fucking, you know, well, Sidroa, not really different from, like, being in a crystal. And also, Sidroa does, like, give you good stuff.
But there's powers, no privacy. I'm not there.
Powers-wise?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, like, wondering, like, what, like, for you, what's the difference? You could get a mech that, like, just you and Sidroa, like, control. Like, you could still get a mech.
You know, I haven't really discussed this with Sidroa. I've been kind of one-sided on this.
Yeah, and I mean, like, because Sidroa was, like, in that pool before, and now Sidroa is not in the pool. So, like, where would Sidroa go? Like, what would Sidroa do if you weren't, like... Like, can Sidroa, like, survive on its own? Like, I don't know.
Yes.
It was?
But, like, I thought that Sidroa was, like, a symbiosis. Was, like, a symbiote.
It is often mutually beneficial, and I enjoy the collaboration, but at the same time, I can survive on my own and have previously. It is always nice also to have a physical support structure, but I can find that elsewhere than the living form of another creature.
Oh, okay.
There are a surprising number of bones laying around, it seems.
Sure.
Given how often you all encourage the practice.
I think we're going to have to sit back and talk about this, Sidroa and I, and figure out what would work best for us. Maybe we should move on to another member of the party.
I was trying to tell you, Sidroa was going to tease you about being indecisive.
That's what got me into this mess in the first place.
Fair enough. All right. Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
You are building a new glider, from what I remember, that does cool things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I kind of forgot that I had my squirrel suit when I said I was going to build a new glider.
That's right. Were you modifying your squirrel suit? I feel like when I read.
Well, I think I said I was building a new glider, but then when we split up after that session, I realized I had my squirrel suit.
So your squirrel suit is built in such a way it might be hard to add stuff onto it. But at the same time, what you could do is you could essentially like add a backpack that you're wearing that has some of these enhancements.
I thought, yeah, that so the like the booster rockets, the pull canister, and the wing sides. Yeah, yeah. I guess that would definitely need to be more.
It would be hard to build into a what is essentially like a, you know, a bodysuit. Like,
right.
I mean, I guess you could. You could.
Are those booster rockets in your skin tight bodysuit, or are you happy to see me?
Yeah. I was going to say, you can also have the stuff like strapped on as components, so, you know.
Yeah,
like,
no, let's do that. Let's do the glider.
Like, the size
let's
can be on your arms or whatever.
No, we should do the glider.
All right. So, you're going to build the glider and your enhancements.
Yeah.
For those that didn't listen to our level episode, we're going to be what?
2x booster rockets, a stretchy pole canister from Vons that is like, you know, for like slingshotty booster, like either grabbing onto something and then landing, force landing on it, like, I don't know, back of a dragon or something, who knows, or like clinging to a wall or something.
Assisted launch
or assisted landing.
Yeah,
either way. And then pop out wing sights.
Okay, so you can in fact do all of those things.
Woo!
It will take some skill to put them together, and it'll take a little bit of time, but you guys have time right now. I guess the big question is, how spendy do you want to get on this? Is this going to be everything's very solidly built and very durable? Is this going to be I tape this together out of stuff in my friend's, like, wood offcut pile?
Oh, I think I'm going to sink whatever resources I've got into it, which is, quite frankly, not much. But I've also got some stuff to sell, too, potentially.
Yeah. Let's see. So honestly, you could probably do all of this in like a solid enough way for 500, or like a really solid way for like 1,000. You guys do have stuff to sell that you haven't sold yet.
That's true. Don't remember what all that is exactly.
I've slightly lost track of that. I'm so sorry.
Let me find it. I have at least some of it, and then the other stuff I can price out for you. One sec. How do I use my own computer? Who can say for sure? Because I also know you just got a pile of gold, so it's possible there's enough in that, especially if other people are willing to wait to sell off the other stuff for their shares. There's the spreadsheet. I said, if I'm real lucky, Google Drive will even open it. Okay, so you straight up got 3,200 gold pieces from the Prismal Eye alone, along with a giant pile of gems.
Okay.
Each of us individually?
As a group, but I'm pretty sure there's enough there that if you spend 1,000, that might be most of your share, but I don't think it would be unreasonable for you to do so.
Okay, then I will do exactly that. That sounds great.
Okay. Make an intelligence check to rebuild your glider.
Okay.
And you're pouring money into this, so add add a d6.
Well, I probably don't need it based on that 20 roll. Even better. That's 22 on the dice, plus intelligence you said, which will make it 34. 33.
Well, that's pretty good.
35. Jesus Christ. I'm great at math.
That's even better. I can do it. Yeah. With a 35, of course you can do math. That's really high-end check. You build this super, super well. You have access to enough money that you can go to all the right people in the market halls and be, give me your best this, and kind of while you're doing that, ask them for advice. You have at least one friend who is incredibly well-equipped with tools, one would imagine, and, you've spent some time adventuring around with like Cog and stuff. So yeah, you're able to basically steal a spot on in and out of the way corner of one of the maintenance areas.
Sure.
And stick this whole thing together.
Sweet.
So the boosters, we will generally play loosey-goosey. It's mostly just to get you back up in the air, I think.
Yeah.
Is the idea.
Or do I mean more like, like speed boosts.
Yeah, or speed boost. If we ever bust out a map, I will make it more precise. But
that's fine.
Yeah. So you can use it to chase things down.
I get to go real fast sometimes. Twice.
Yeah. Yeah. The sticky thing. The sticky bungee cord thing. Grappling hook bungee cord thing-ish. Is going to behave the exact same as the one that Pons has normally. It's just easily fireable from your glider.
Right.
And the sides. So the sides are on different sides, which means it will be hard to hit any one thing with both of them.
Oh, right. No, of course not. Yeah.
But it should make it a lot easier for you to hit any... Or rather, it should make it... It's a lot easier to justify, I hit this thing as I'm going past, rather than but can you turn,
Sure.
So you don't have to worry about that. I'm trying to find...
I don't expect to get two attacks out of that. There's one on each side to make it good for maneuverability, but not... I don't expect two attacks.
Yeah. If you ever... Sorry, I'm trying to find the weapon sheet in the book. If you ever... find a chance to split the middle between two creatures that are very close, I'll let you make a piloting check to try to hit both of them, although that would probably put both attacks at a penalty.
Sure.
Why is this book made this way? Sorry. the PDF and finding the equipment section is actually very weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So as far as damage, actually, I guess I can look and see what a scythe does. That's a weird amount of damage, but I like it. The scythe does 2d4.
Okay.
So you'll just do that as you fly by. If you, generally speaking, this won't be a problem if you fumble on one of these attacks, and especially if it's against something that might be difficult to cut or slash, it may catch.
Sure.
And cause some piloting issues.
Yeah, but, no, that's very valid and fair.
But yeah, it should be pretty smooth. Yeah, all right. And then what does your upgraded glider look like?
My last one I said was basically just like a box kite. I think that this one is more, a little more maneuverable and like fancy looking. So I think it's possibly like a, more like a sleek biplane.
All right.
Like a real close, like not a big gap between the
upper and lower level for some interesting stability stuff, but
right. But not like,
maybe like the short wings have the size mounted on them and then the wider wings are above them or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Steamboat Willie, aka the Red Baron, is all set. And what color is it? Or did you paint anything fun on it? Because you did just have a wizard on the side of your van.
Yeah, but I'm not the artist.
You could get an artist.
I can get an artist. It'll have, it'll just look like dragon scales.
Okay. Continuing the theme. Silver or?
Gold? Sure. That sounds good.
Yeah, I think if it's silver, it matches your suit.
Sure.
So, okay. You have one sick-ass glider that is ready to go.
Sweet.
For your glider, I'm going to just roll now that it's light enough that I know you have like a jumping enchantment on your squirrel suit. You can use that to launch it as well. It's a little bit awkward, but it means you don't have to go find your way up a cliff nearby as combat starts.
Sure.
Yeah. Or the speed boost. Or both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. So sweet. You have a highly portable, sweet-ass glider. All right. Jesse.
Yes.
You've moved your family to the valley. They've been settling in. I imagine you're going to visit them.
Yeah.
Do you, perchance, take your two esteemed compatriots? Grix and Wealthy with you.
yeah, sure, totally.
Thank God.
So I would assume that like Hank has been starting to figure out how to like do woodwork.
Yeah. So
like carpentry. I would guess that since he was a stone worker, it looks rough.
Yeah. So all of you transport there. Skrullo built it under kind of the first. It's tucked up against the edge of the valley, but built in such a way that you come out facing like the valley itself. It's built onto the end that has that little, the remains of that village on it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't want it to be close to the bright light part.
Yeah. Just duck when you go through. It's fine. Hank is doing his best, and his best is okay. Big thing between stonework and woodworking is, you know, fasteners.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's taking some figuring out. Looks like you've been here on and off. He'd initially essentially put a roof up on some of the less crumbled walls just so there was somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, dry. And then he practiced the flooring by building a deck, as is in the veins of all fathers who learn to woodwork, from what I understand. And then started building the rest of it. There's been a lot of shoring up of the existing structures. There is some use of stone, I'm going to say, because you invited a small number of people, but...
each of them would have been able to also, like, invite whoever they wanted, so, like... So
Hank invited a couple of his buddies who have been helping him quarry stone for, let's make the walls level, so we can just build a roof and not also build a bunch of janky-ass support structures.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some experience with some of this because, especially in places like the spires, I imagine that people built more plant-based, like roofs and things like that. So yeah, things are coming together. I'm going to say it's been probably about a month by the time of this visit, 3 weeks to a month. And like, thank God the weather's good here, but it's comfortable. Like, there's shelters to be under. There's now places where people are cooking. There's latrines. Like, it's a little bit rough, but it's like a summer camp rough. It's not like I'm out in the woods with a knife and a tarp and 2 feet of rope and have to figure this out. Like, So yeah, it's a beautiful sunny day. The birds are singing. The bees are buzzing.
Oh yeah. How's, Laura?
Laura, yeah.
How's Laura?
You find Laura, you find Laura living out of a tent off a bit away from the village. There was an area that seemed like it used to have fences and maybe some other small structures. And it looks like she has figured out that that is a good spot for beekeeping. Lots of flowers, lots of meadow. And so she is clearly also figuring out the working with wood and only wood thing. But so some of the beehive boxes are a little bit jank, but it does seem to be developing pretty well. Yeah, it's kind of like there's a bunch of stuff that's half finished, but you can see that at least one has been fully done. And well, it looks like it is tilted about 15 degrees off true, and it's a little bit crooked, so it's hard to get the grids, slides.
The screens.
Yeah, it's hard to get the screens in there, but seems to be working okay. And you see some bees happily buzzing around it. Yeah. Oh, hey.
Hey. Glad to see the things are like going like pretty okay.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, these are new. These are obviously different bees, but they don't seem to be getting in a fight with the bees I brought down. So that's probably good.
Oh, that's good.
And yeah, you weren't kidding about this place.
I know. How do you think that how long does it take to do you think it'll take to get the harvest? I don't know. I mean, no, and no pressure, just wondering kind of what.
Just a little bit of pressure.
Just we don't know anything, so we have to ask a lot of questions.
I'm not 100% sure yet. It kind of depends on how long certain things take. And I mean, there's a lot of bees here, so I'm not too worried about supply of food and things like that. But it'll take some experimentation. That said, they make honey fairly quickly. Meta note, the GM does not know exactly how quickly this is.
No, that's fair. And I'm sorry. Asking the question, no, okay. I realized that that's not a fair question to ask
But, but yeah, the nice thing is that we can do a lot of volume through here. So we can have way more hives going than we had on the arcs, and with a lot more food and sun. So they're going to be a lot less stressed, hopefully. So I think honey production will be pretty good. Depends on kind of what quantities you end up needing. But
I think we're going to need a lot of honey because it's part of the cure.
Yeah, but is it a small part of the cure where you can use a couple drops? Or is it I need, for every 16 ounces of cure, I need 15.5 ounces of honey.
I think it is a pretty solid base.
Well, damn. Well, we'll make as much as we can, but, we don't want to overtax the ecosystem, but
Yeah, totally.
But I do think they'll be very, very productive here. The hives I have found around, from what I can see, are sizable, both in number of bees and also literal size. So they seem to be doing pretty well on the honey production front.
Rad.
As a baseline of thumb, a beehive can produce 30 to 60 pounds of honey per year. But a really healthy hive that is well taken care of can do as much as up to 100 pounds of honey a year.
Wow.
This seems like a pretty often repeated
number.
Standard rule of thumb.
Okay, yeah, so I'm hoping for 100 pounds of honey a year.
Fuck yeah.
Out of these hives.
Sweet.
I'll probably need to get some other people, obviously, but maybe some of the other people that are moving into the village will want to do it, or can always go grab some coworkers.
Yeah, I mean, they all seemed real freaked out, and I'm not totally sure why, because I mean, I said real clearly that it was safe. I made sure to emphasize that, so I was a little confused that nobody seemed really super into the idea.
I think it's that none of us had ever met you before.
Oh. Okay. I mean, I guess that's fair, but, also, I am part of the group that you have the contract with, so, I mean, I guess I get that you've never met me before, but, the concept of going to the ground wasn't, totally new,
Yeah, well, healthy skepticism, and also I'm not sure how many of the people who worked out that contract with you expected you to come back. Not that they were going to renege on it, just it seemed pretty fantastical, and then suddenly you're back, and also there's a place we can go that's safe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a little weird, but I don't know, there's a lot, nobody knew anything about the ground for 600 years or whatever, so now we do, now we know.
And it's very exciting, it's a big change.
Sure.
I'm fully willing to admit we were wrong not to trust you,
Okay.
I'm not surprised it happened at the time.
Well, good.
Oh, yes, the finest of conversational victories, if you're one.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll, let you know, when the when the Arx actually does land. It's not, it hasn't yet, but like, we'll like, I'm sure we'll tell you. And like, if all else fails, you'll know because, the circle won't work anymore. If, you know, we don't, if we can't come, if it doesn't work, you'll know that because the circle will die.
Well, at least
I should probably not say that to my family.
Probably not. Thank goodness we're a good walk away from the village, so they couldn't have possibly overheard you.
Yeah.
You're practicing. You're working out some of the thoughts, so they can stay inside thoughts or something.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do. All right. So you head on back to the village, I imagine, to go see your family.
Yes.
Gasp.
Hello, family. I have missed you. Although, you know, Kindness and I did go to the club the other day. So that was nice.
Sorry. Just sitting there being like, how do you respond to that? Because everything is correct. It's just like...
Cool.
Well, yeah. Yes, it was... That's not how Hank talks. Yeah, of course. It was good that you two got a chance to head out, and the kids get to run around so much they tire themselves out, so it makes bedtime a lot easier.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Well, I'm glad that you're, like, you know, that things have been, like, more... Is it chill? Are you, like, freaking out? I don't know.
Well, anytime I start freaking out, I just work harder until the thoughts stop, and that seems
to help. Yeah. That's normal. That's the way. That's, like, really good. And also, I mean, like, if you really are, like, super freaking out, I guess you could talk to me or Guinness about it, you know, because we're, like, spouses and we... Do you want to talk? Hey, let's go talk. Hey, baby. Let's go talk. Let's go have a conversation about how you're feeling.
Okay. Where do you go to have a conversation about feelings?
Into the woods.
All right. Yeah, made it into the woods.
Hey, so like, are you, what's going on? Are you okay?
Well, it's a big change. And turns out woodworking and stoneworking are pretty different.
Aw.
And I think I've been figuring it out. But like, and you know, some of my buddies have been helping me out. So like, we've got all the basics down now. But it's mostly just a big change. And also like, we couldn't tell everybody. And the place I grew up might crash into the ground.
Yeah, no, it's like pretty... It's pretty sad.
Don't get me wrong. Being here feels way better than being there just waiting.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, like, the sun feels, like, really good. Like, the whatever this fake sun shit is, like, feels really nice during the day.
Yeah. Been learning how to deal with the whole sunburn thing, but only make that mistake once or twice, and then you get it figured out, mostly.
Oh, yeah. You could probably, like, put, like, a... Like, make a hat or something. The big wide brim hat.
Yeah, I've made a few.
Cool.
Yeah. Not used to working in them, so it's taken a few different designs, but I think I mostly got it figured out.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. How are you feeling about everything? You're the one who's kind of being the thick of everything, so.
Oh, I mean, like, you know me, like, as long as I'm, like, you know, doing stuff, I feel, like, pretty okay, and I haven't, like, really felt bad or anything. Mostly I just like wanna to make sure that you guys were like safe and stuff so that you know, the kids and like the kids are okay. Yeah, I just like I wanted to make sure that everyone was okay, and now I feel like they're, you know, you guys are like pretty okay, and now we just gotta like finish, you know, landing the thing, and yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I love you, and I just, like, want you to be okay, and, like, I've made it so that you can be okay.
And I also love you, like, too, and I appreciate that you made it so we can be okay.
Oh, yeah. And then we kiss. Yeah. Yeah, and then I'm like...
And natural.
I feel like...
It is in character.
I feel like Jesse and Hank are like, oh, okay, yeah, we shared feelings. Let's kiss now.
Oh, absolutely.
In like a very not natural way, but that's just the way that they are.
It's the procedure they have learned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I feel really close to you now.
Yeah, me too.
How has it been with like Squirrello's student trainee?
Oh, she's real nice. Doesn't come out much. Her cousin likes to make the rounds and talk to people, but they're also kind of busy getting her moved in.
Oh, sure.
I think they're bringing literally all of her stuff down here.
That makes sense. I mean, like, we should bring more of our stuff down here.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I think it would be really easy because the circle is in our apartment, so.
That is true. I was just thinking we don't have as much space to store stuff, because, they took the shortcut to building everything, which I understand. You know, wizards need their space.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense. Cool. We'll stay the night tonight, I think, and then go back tomorrow again.
Yeah.
Technically, like, Jessie could be just living here if she's going back to their apartment.
Yeah, maybe you do some days and not others, because, you know.
I feel like it's not in the, like, it's in a wildly different time zone.
Yeah. That's probably a big part of it. Yeah, because you're on borderline the opposite side of the globe.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think Jessie is, gonna stay overnight tonight. And then, I am interested in meeting Squirrello's student and apparently her cousin.
Yeah. All right. Grix and Veldrawa, do you want to stay the night?
Sure. Why not?
Go.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
It's a wonderful, pleasant evening.
Uh-huh.
There's a breeze.
Uh-huh.
It's only a little weird when you pay close attention to the way the light moves across the floor of the valley at sunrise. And yeah, welcome to a new day. And Hank guides you to where Skrulla's student is getting set up. It is actually relatively close to the circle, but there's kind of a stand of trees in the way, so it was hard to see. Mostly because this has been built into the side of the valley. And that's just a straight up tower.
Cool. Sick.
Great.
Wait, did they just build this or was this something that was structured part of the structures that were already there?
It wasn't here when you were here previously.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Rad.
And Skrullo is outside.
Hey.
Friends, hello.
Hey.
Hello, friends.
How are you?
Surprised at how difficult moving is. It's been a while. But I'll do anything for Oyanga. And plus, like, half those books are technically mine, so...
Yeah.
Want to be sure they are transported well, but other than that, it's been good. It's been a while since I've built something with magic. Well, assisted in building, I will admit, to collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
But it's been a fun challenge. Have you all been faring with the landing thing?
Oh, great. Yeah, it's coming down.
Yeah, we're making progress. We're getting people on our side right now. Grix is getting people on our side. He's the one who's, you know, like, good at that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm a man of the people. Demagogue, as you say.
And Wealthy's, like, figuring out, like, what to do about her body and shit, so that's fun.
Yeah, there's some decisions to be made, and I have to think harder about it than just, you know, like, flying off the handle like I normally do.
It's puberty all over again.
Yeah.
Lot of decisions. So introduce us to Oyanga, if that's, like, chill. Because we did, you know, suggest to bring people down. So I feel like it would be cool if we could meet her.
Of course. Come with me.
Cool.
So
walk this way.
Skrulla takes you inside the base of the tower. It has a appropriately oversized door with a very big knocker that looks ominous and welcoming at the same time. It's quite the trick. Just sheer size-wise, it's kind of intimidating. And you go inside, and this was already not small on the outside. Like, it looked kind of lighthouse-sized.
Uh-huh.
It is, in fact, larger on the inside.
Of course it is. There's no zoning rules here.
Yes, one of many things I appreciate about this valley. That and, frankly, when you build magical structures, this tends to happen to some extent. It weirdly makes things easier.
Oh, sure.
At least we're going to have magic running through it, and to have enchantments laid on it permanently for things like security, it is usually useful to build it that way. At any rate, are all of you able to use the stairs?
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
Is there a lot of them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Like a valley
is
worth?
Is it a lot higher inside also than it looks outside?
That's hard to tell because there's ceilings. There's like an open space at the center of each floor, it looks like, with like a rail around it, but it's not very large. So it's just hard to tell from where you're standing how many stairs this actually goes up. This looks like a standard floor, but doesn't fit the number of floors.
See, I would actually ask...
you're actually asking Squirrello.
I would actually ask that to Squirrello.
No, it is about the standard. Well, it is the same height as the one, as the structure is outside.
Okay, cool. Then yeah, I think this should be fine.
I believe they are up in the library. So you all start heading up the stairs. This first place seemed to be kind of storage and bringing stuff in, and the world's biggest mudroom slash
sure,
you know, basement storage slash whatever. You go up past what looks to be an extremely nicely appointed sitting room. That's a lot of upholstery. And intricately carved stuff. There's also a large number of books in here. Also, there are a good number of large-sized windows, including ones that you did not see from the outside.
Sure.
So light is streaming in, and then you head up another level, and that's when you hit the library.
That's when you hit the library.
Yes. So
okay, cool.
Library slash study. It's a library and a study and a laboratory.
Ooh, it looks gorgeous.
If anything happens in the laboratory, it's built to magically shield the other sections. Myself, I'm rather proud of it.
Oh, cool.
You need to show me that, because I have a problem with yeasted goods wanting to attack me, and I'd like to be able to keep them from my books.
Well, normally one would keep those in an oven, yes?
Books?
Wait, sorry, what? Books?
Yeasted goods.
Yes, one would, but yeasted goods have a way of wanting to jump out at me and try and kill me.
Have you considered locking your oven?
Yes, but eventually you have to use the oven again.
Lock it inside and bake it. I suppose if it's rising, it might need to be removed at some point. This may explain my incident with sourdough. At any rate, yes, you'll notice the bookcases are floor to ceiling, and these are quite high ceilings, and there are, of course, at least... We've settled on two ladders for now. One runs around the outer perimeter, one runs around the inner perimeter. But more sliding ladders may be added in the future. Uyanga would be embarrassed to admit it, but she clearly enjoys riding them.
Bear.
I have not yet convinced her to sing while doing so.
Oh.
But perhaps someday.
Oh, yeah. No, I love that acting.
Yes.
I bet that would be a really good acting to do as like a community theater, like a little, like, one-night thing. Like we do sometimes, you know? Someone should put that in the list.
That one I could do without even thinking about.
I can absolutely do that without thinking about it even on the slightest little bit.
I slightly missed some conversation and don't know what we're referring to.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Sure.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go add it to the list. One sec.
Cool, thanks.
And then it can get younger, and then it can wrap. But I will forget if I wait.
Yep.
I also like that we made a
that could
Mock
go.
Trials of Controversial TV Shows note, and it currently has Lost, and then where I wrote Star Trek Enterprise, don't know if this really qualifies as controversial, to be honest. I will defend Enterprise, but...
I think it's highly defensible.
Uh-huh. Yes. But yes, so you wanted to meet Uyanga. Uyanga! Yes, very good acting. Uyanga, you have visitors. They're responsible for you being able to be here, so no pressure, but it would be polite. You think you're here, somewhere, not actually that far off, but out of view, light grumbling. And then, a woman with kind of medium dark skin and long black hair who's dressed in, like, very, very nicely cut wizard robes, borderline dress, but still has some of the wizard robe qualities, comes out holding a couple of books, You would guess this is Uyanga, and her cousin also follows with her, who is dressed uncharacteristically from your experience in leather armor, because it is Nara.
Nara?
Nara?
And that's where we'll pick up next time.
I love the way we did that together.
You got your Nara cliffhanger back. It's been so long.
It's been so long since we had a Nara cliffhanger.
An old tradition. Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. Follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter, @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our dankest, blazest posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Aaron. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.